Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready. It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch us live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Abebefe. You can find me on Instagram, Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network at BetMGM Network over on Twitter. If you like our show, Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find it. We got the crew hanging with us here on this Friday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Addie Bates, Nick Kostos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on Big Blue's big upset. How about it? As his New York Giants beat the Philadelphia Eagles last night on Thursday Night Football. Put many of dollars into our pockets, which was great. Betting the Giants +7.5. But the Giants win the bad boy outright. And in Philly, oh boy, I'm sure it's not been a fun day out there in the city of brotherly love. But as always, if you miss any part of the show today, and we're going to get to a lot. Obviously, our NFL bets for the weekend, our college football bets for Saturday, Major League Baseball. We got a pair of Game 5s, one of them tonight in my old stomping grounds in the Pacific Northwest, Tigers at the Mariners. Another one over in Milwaukee between the Cubs and the Brewers. If you miss any part of today's show, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcast. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe, rate, and review. I mean, we're doing you guys a favor. Putting it on there in on-demand fashion for everyone to consume, the least you could do, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. We have three guests who will be joining us throughout the program here across these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern, host of MLB Central on MLB Network. Robert Flores returns to us here on You Better You Bet. We talked to Robert back in August about all things Major League Baseball. Can't wait to get his thoughts on what has happened in the LDS and what he expects to happen going forward here in the month of October. That's at 5 o'clock Eastern. At 5:20 Eastern, NBC's lead betting analyst, co-host of the Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry and Connor Rogers, it's our good buddy Jay Croucher. Jay couldn't hang with us on Thursday yesterday. That's his usual spot. But Jay is so kind enough to hang out with us to end his work week here on You Better You Bet. 5:20, we'll talk all things week 6 in the NFL with Jay Croucher. And then at 5:40 Eastern time, college football betting analyst for the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast, Colin Wilson, with his weekly Friday spot here on You Better You Bet. Colin will give us his best bets for what is a banger slate in college football week 7 tomorrow in a great, great sport. A sport we all love here in America. So Colin Wilson at 5:40 Eastern time, Jay at 5:20, Robert Flores at 5 o'clock. But let's talk about what we saw last night in the Meadowlands as the New York Giants, boy, oh boy, the New York Giants beat the Philadelphia Eagles 34-17. Of course, the Giants well within the number. They covered the number wire to wire. They win the game outright, and they win it by, I mean, imagine laying Giants alts, because that's what cashed last night. I don't think anybody, even the biggest Giants homer, would have expected Giants 34, Eagles 17. And the big takeaway for me with that game last night is that for the first time in a very, very long time, the Giants have some juice, baby. The Giants have a lot of juice. I honestly was thinking about it last night, watching the game and afterwards taking in all the post-game stuff and seeing what people were saying on Twitter and what they were saying online, etc. Like, the Gen Z Giants, that's what we need to call them. Because they're being sparked by this rookie class. And it's Jackson Dart at quarterback and it's Cam Scataboo at running back that have just injected so much life into this team. Like, we see them, they're scoring the touchdowns, doing like the TikTok TD dances, which are kind of fun, to be quite honest. Like, I know people like, oh, look, oh, TikTok, I look down on that. I don't know, man. Like, they're a bunch of kids. Dart's like, what, 21, 22 years old? Scataboo, I think, is like 24. Let them have some fun. I think it's a great time that those guys are doing all those TikTok TD dances until they do it against the Dallas Cowboys. That's when it'll piss me off. All right, but for now, it's a lot of fun seeing those Giants guys celebrate all of the success that they're having here over these past few weeks. And Jackson Dart has to be the big story for me, because that's the guy, if the Giants are to kind of take a next step this year and maybe open up another level in terms of their potential this season, it's all about Jackson Dart, the rookie quarterback out of Ole Miss. Now, last night, his stats were really, really good. I mean, he posted a QBR of north of 85, which QBR out of 100, that's a hell of a game by a rookie quarterback, especially going up against the defending Super Bowl champions. 17-25, 195 yards, a touchdown through the air, 13 carries, 58 yards with a touchdown on the ground. Jackson Dart had it rolling. Now, is he perfect? No, we can all see it. You can still see that he's a little bit raw, but there's ability there. And that's the big thing. The whole point of this season for the New York Giants was to figure out, is Jackson Dart our guy of the future? And it's still early. It's only been 3 games, but we're off to a really good start with wins over the Chargers a couple of weeks ago, and last night, a win over the Philadelphia Eagles. And you can tell, just based on how everyone on the sidelines is acting, how everyone in the crowd, like, this team, this city, is rallying around Jackson Dart. Now, imagine what it would look like last night, or even going forward, had Malik Nabers not torn his ACL. I mean, they did this without their best wide receiver, probably their best offensive player on the team, Malik Nabers. Like, had he not torn his ACL, what does it look like for Jackson Dart's development as a rookie? What does it look like last night if he has Darius Slayton on the field? He was going to come back soon, dealing with a hamstring injury, but there was no Nabers. He's on IR, no Slayton last night, and Dart looked in control against this Vic Fangio defense. Like, this Giants offense with Brian Daboll, like, we know he likes athletic quarterbacks, helped out a lot in Josh Allen's development. Like, that's kind of been his football education, is with working with these mobile quarterbacks. Like, this offense looks like it might be fun for the New York Giants with Dart and with Scataboo. And I was actually looking at this earlier this morning. At some sports books, Jackson Dart is now a co-favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Over at BetMGM, where we look to make it legendary, he's plus 200 behind Buccaneers wide receiver Emeka Ebuka, who's at minus 105. Now, we talked about O'Roy in depth yesterday on Thursday on the show. If you missed that conversation, make sure you check that out. I'll just say this really quickly about Dart's O'Roy candidacy. That he can definitely win. Unfortunately for Dart, he's up against it, having not played in the first 3 games of the season, or at least had not started in the first few games of the season. But if this continues and they keep winning games, and let's say they go like 8-9 or so, yeah, he can definitely win. However, I would not be looking to bet 2-1 on Jackson Dart. I'll just say that right now, because Emeka Abuka right now, a justified odds-on favorite. And in fact, there's a good chance that Emeka Abuka might be like second-team All-Pro. Maybe even first-team All-Pro. Let's see how the rest of the season goes. But he has been ridiculous. So we're all excited. We're all pumped up. And hey, we all see the dancing and the head button with Scataboo, who we'll get to here shortly. Like, Emeka Abuka is still that guy, and he's been scoring touchdowns left and right. So let's not get too crazy with jamming in Jackson Dart, at least in my personal opinion. And I'll just say this too about Dart. While it looks great, it's still early. And rookie quarterbacks, you know, sometimes they have great games, sometimes they have bad games. I mean, we just saw just this past Sunday, Jackson Dart fumbling the football in the open field. So the fact that he has this in him is a great, great sign. But like, let's just, you know, let's be level-headed here and not go too crazy on what this might be in 2025. In terms of 2026 and beyond, hey, you might get all crazy and maybe he's the guy for them in the future. But right now, it's still a rookie quarterback, and let's all take a deep breath. But with all that being said, you got to feel good about Dart, and you got to feel good about their psychotic bowling ball bruiser for a running back in Cam Scataboo. That dude is nuts. Like, he's insane. Last night, almost 100 yards, 98 yards, 3 touchdowns. Nobody wants to tackle Cam Scataboo. Like, that is like the... And for anyone who's ever played football, I mean, at any level, honestly, like, there's always like those like kind of short, stocky guys that's just like, all right, now we got to deal with this dude. This is a pain in the ass. Like, come on. Like, that's what Scataboo is. Like, he is that short, stocky guy that just his legs keep churning. And you could tell those Eagles defenders, especially in the second half, they're like, man, like, do we really have to keep doing this? Credit to the Giants for sticking to the run game and just saying, we're going to jam it down these guys' throats because, hey, it was working and it worked all night long. And after the game, I don't know how many people watched this, like on the Amazon Prime post-game show. I'm sure that everyone saw the social media clips and all of that. Like, he's ripping the shirt off and he's like just going insane. Like, he's like some frat dude that just like took a beer bong. Like it's he's insane, but it's what they've needed. And Cam Scataboo's energy and Dart's energy has brought life to this New York Giants team. And potentially, and this is the real kicker here, potentially it's brought life back for Brian Daboll, the head coach who's currently on the hot seat. Like, this dynamic duo can potentially save Brian Daboll's job. Now, I think Brian Daboll clearly knows that's the case. Anybody who watched the game last night, you can see that Brian Daboll knows the math on this one. All you needed to see to know that Brian Daboll realizes that these rookies are his path to job security was the way that Brian Daboll was acting when Jackson Dart was in the medical tent. Like, Daboll looked like a degenerate. Like, he was cussing at the medical staff, was just on fire. And Dable's a little bit of a hothead. Like, he's acknowledged that. We've seen other instances when Brian Daboll's lost his cool on the sidelines. But that man was acting like an flat out degenerate, went into the blue tent, like as if he was gonna, like, bro, it's a third party that's supposed to evaluate whether this guy's head is okay when they were checking Jackson Dart for a potential concussion. And also, the general manager, Joe Shane, who's also on the hot seat, the way that he hugged Cam Scataboo after the game, as if it was a father hugging his son who he hasn't seen in years. Like, these guys know their ticket to an extension, and it's with these two Gen Z Giants who have brought life back to this organization. I can't wait to see how it unfolds. I think last night was a lot of fun, but I would not expect that feeling to last, because while they beat the Eagles and they beat the Chargers and they've shown some potential, this is still a bad football team. And when you look at the schedule, it's a bad football team with a brutal schedule going forward. At Denver next week, there's no Keely Ringo on that defense that you can pick on. Like, at the Eagles, you think the Eagles are going to want some revenge? Home Niners, at the Bears, home Packers, at the Lions, at the Patriots. They're going to be underdogs in all of those games. So bottle this up, New York. Enjoy last night. Enjoy it into the weekend. Because going forward, I think this is just going to be a fun memory of the 2025 season and not a sign of what's to come, at least this year, with the New York Giants. Now, we've made it this far without acknowledging the disastrous performance by the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And maybe this will spill a little bit into the next segment as well, because there's so much to say about what the Eagles did. And to me, it feels like the Eagles' ways have finally caught up to them. Like all of this, not really playing their best, doing just enough to win games in the first month of the season, 4-0. I was critical of them when they were at 4-0, and people were like, oh, like why are you picking on the Eagles? Like, no, they win games. Like, because I have eyeballs, man. Like, I'm watching the games, and it doesn't look right. It never looked like a 4-0 team. And now, after 4-0 for the first month, they're now 4-2 in just 5 days. Blew the game against Denver, and last night, they got their asses kicked up against this New York Giants team. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. And last night, for a sixth consecutive game, they were outgained by the opposition. Seems something like that's relevant, right? Like, that's something that's pretty important, you would at least think. And offensively, they look completely lost, which should not be the case when you look at their roster and the talent that is all over that team. After the game, offensive tackle Lane Johnson, like he said that they've become way too predictable on offense and said, quote, we're just not very good right now. I mean, we're all looking at you, Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, because if you look at this offense, I know you can say Mekhi Becton's now with the Chargers, but fundamentally, not a lot has changed from a season ago when this team was rolling all the way to a Super Bowl championship. The biggest change is Kellen Moore, last year's OC, now the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and now Kevin Petullo is the play caller. That's the biggest change. So Petullo, yeah, we're all looking at you. A.J. Brown, although he had 6 catches, 80 yards last night, many of other opportunities to find A.J. Brown. And Jalen Hurts, because we're all criticizing Petullo, Jalen Hurts also deserves some of the criticism as well. Execute the plays that are there, buddy. Devontae Smith, butt naked open, gonna walk into the end zone, overshoots him. A.J. Brown, wide open over the middle on the pass where he got intercepted by Cordell Flott in the fourth quarter. These are all things that were actually there in last night's game that could have helped them win last night's game. But unfortunately, they look like they're absolutely lost on that side of the ball. And on the other side, I'll let you know if they can right this ship going forward here in 2025.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging with you guys on this Friday. 40 minutes from now, we'll hear from Nick Kostos with his thoughts on his New York Giants beating the rival Eagles last night on Thursday Night Football. Big Blue gets it done as a 7.5-point underdog. And boy, oh boy, we're asking a lot of questions about the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. So Nick will talk about that coming up in 40 minutes. 20 minutes from now, I'll break down all the popular betting sides in the NFL and college football and what I'm planning to do in those games. We'll also get some bets for the Game 5s in Major League Baseball from our baseball aficionado Jay Kassan and Tyler Morales. But before we bring on our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, wanted to wrap a couple of minutes about the Eagles going forward, because as we were wrapping up the segment before the break. I just, this Eagles team, it's just, it doesn't look good. It doesn't. And it hasn't looked good in any of these six games. Now, they've won four of them. They have those banked. So, like, I'm not ready to write them off as, oh my goodness, the Eagles are never going to make the playoffs. No, that's crazy, in my opinion. Like, I know, but from a betting standpoint, there's some, like, plus 230, plus 250. If you want to bet that, knock yourself out. I'm not going to be the guy that makes that bet. But I will say this. I don't think things will change until they actually change the play caller. I think honestly, through six games, I've seen enough of Kevin Petullo. And I know I'm not the only one. I know Eagles fans are calling for Kevin Petullo. Hell, Eagles fans might be calling for Nick Sirianni, who just won the Super Bowl last year. But, like, nothing will change unless they change the play caller. Now, why I still have confidence in the Eagles going forward this season to at least be a playoff team is that they've done this before. Like, we all remember back in 2021. Maybe people have forgotten, but I know I haven't forgotten. Back in 2021, Nick Sirianni's first year as the head coach, he was the play caller early in the season. It was Sirianni, even though they had Shane Steichen on staff as the OC. And it wasn't until, like, the midway point of that year where they're saying, hey, like, this isn't working. You know, the passing game seems to be broken. Offensively, we don't seem to be efficient. Let's change things up. And Nick Sirianni, who was, like, very humble to do this as a first-year play caller or first-year head coach, most guys don't give up these play-calling duties. He said, you know what? I'm not going to call the plays. Let Shane Steichen call the plays. I'll focus on just managing the game. And then the Eagles took off that season. First year with Sirianni and Hurts, they go to the playoffs, lost to Brady and the Bucks in the wild card round. But you could see where this was headed once Sirianni took a step back and said, Steichen, you call the plays. Which, looking back, is kind of hilarious because Shane Steichen's, like, one of the best play callers in the NFL. It's like, why wasn't this guy just doing it from the beginning, right? But hey, sometimes you got to do some trial and error, and the Eagles did it that year. I would not be surprised if Philly said, you know what, Petullo, you're done. We're not having you call the plays. Whether it goes back to Sirianni or goes to somebody else, I think they're going to make some kind of change, and they will make the playoffs because this team is just way too talented. But with that being said, I do feel like this is going to end up a lot like 2023, where potentially they lose themselves this division. I mean, we all hear the stat of no team has repeated in the NFC East since 2004. I think that might end up happening again, whether it's the Commanders. I don't think it's the Cowboys. Maybe I'm just a pessimistic Cowboys fan, but, like, it feels like it'd be a little bit far-fetched for it to be Dallas. But over at BetMGM, Washington's plus 150. I don't know if I'd make that bet yet. I'd rather just fade the Eagles week to week and collect the money that way. But, man, I don't know if I see a division winner with this Eagles team. And I think they can get to the playoffs, though. But once they get there, I think they probably crash out in embarrassing fashion early in January, as we saw a couple of seasons ago. So that's where things sit with the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles. It's not a good look here, as they're having to ask a lot of questions and use this little mini bye week to figure out what the hell they're going to be going forward. All right, with that said, let's go ahead and get to some of today's top stories as we bring in our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, to go over what we should be looking forward to today and into the weekend. Bill, how are we doing? How was your NFL experience last night watching Thursday Night Football? And happy Friday to you and yours, buddy.
Happy Friday, Femi. Happy Football Friday to everyone. My viewing experience was great. As you know, I'm really into these dynasty leagues. I'm in some with Nick Kostos and Cam Scadaboo with the start. 32 fantasy points. So I was cruising with that one.
He's a psycho, isn't he? Scatterbug.
He is. Like, in all the good ways.
Nuts. He's nuts. Like, I think everybody was showing the video of, like, him and, like, Jackson Dart, like, kind of, like, nuzzling their heads together as if that's, like, some sort of, like, greeting. But I think the caption was, like, why do they interact like they're dogs? Like literal dogs. Like, that's how they act. But, hey, maybe it's because they got that dog in them because they've been really exciting so far. It's only three games. We're not going to go too crazy. I still think the Giants are bad, and I think we're going to find that out with the rest of this schedule. But at least a lot to be excited about the future of Big Blue, and perhaps maybe there's a future that includes head coach Brian Daboll, who appears to be looking for his lifeline, that lifeline being Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo. But enough of that. Let's talk about what we need to know today, Bill. What's the number one story on the docket this afternoon?
I mean, let's start on the diamond, because the Dodgers last night eliminate the Phillies in game four of the NLDS. They win this one 2-1 in 11 innings. But the way this one ended was crazy. Dodgers had the bases loaded with two outs. Orion Kerkering pitching for the Phillies knocks down a comebacker, scoops up the ball, does not throw it to first. tries to throw it to home for the force out. It's way wide. Haesung Kim scores for LA, and the Phillies are eliminated. Dodgers advance to the NLCS. Kirkering took the blame after the loss, saying, blank happens, and this really effing sucks. You know, a man of few words, Femi, said he thought it was a better play to go home, but clearly that did not work out. A brutal sports night in Philadelphia.
Oh, man. WIP, our friends over there, our Odyssey station in Philadelphia, has got to be just going absolutely nuts. I'm sure the phone calls have been off the hook with what happened, not just with the Eagles, but with the Phillies last night. Like, this was insane. And I was had this on the laptop, or sorry, on the iPad, because I had the football game on the main TV, and I'm just watching the living room, just like, oh, the bases are loaded. Let me keep an eye on what's happening. Because at that point, it felt like at least the Giants are going to cover the game. And I was like stunned beyond belief that he went to home. Like, my theory with this whole thing with Orion Kirkering, and like, yeah, it sucks, and good on him for being a professional and answering the questions in the clubhouse, because I think there's some guys out there that would just be like, nope, vanish mode, I'm gone, and maybe I'll talk tomorrow or never. But he actually stood up there and addressed it with all the reporters. My theory is that he forgot how many outs there were. Like, I think he thought they only had one out as opposed to three out. And he's like, I gotta go home. Because there's no logical explanation as to why you would go home as opposed to going to first. Like, I could not believe it. JT Realmuto is pointing to first base, being like, hey, that's your one right there. Just throw to first. And he throws home. Like, he wasn't expecting that. And he throw home, and then the throw is errant to begin with. It's like, bro, what in the world? And I don't think a baseball player would ever admit being like, yeah, man, I thought we only had one out as opposed to two. But like deep down, I actually think that's what happened as opposed to I thought it was a good play to go home. Because there's no way he thought it was a good play. Yes, the guy's flashing in his face as he looks up and has the ball. But no, there's no empty bases. The guy's running the first. Just throw him out and you get out of the inning. A heartbreaker for Philly fans. And for the Dodgers, well, they just always end up on the good side of these kinds of things. And I think they're going to wax whoever comes out of the other side between the Cubs and the Brewers and march on once again to the World Series. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Well, speaking of those Cubs and Brewers, family, Cubs cruise in game four of the NLDS, 6-0 over that Brew Crew. Cubs hit three home runs in this one. Meanwhile, the Brewers muster just three hits. Femi, this one was never in doubt. Cubs forced the decisive Game 5 on Saturday in Milwaukee. Over at BetMGM, Brewers are a -130 favorite.
Are the October Brewers finally here? Like, that's what I was asking myself last night. I slightly bought in as I bet Milwaukee last night. Like, I don't think they're going to do anything if they advance in the NLCS against the Dodgers. But a part of me was like, okay, at least maybe they can win this series and have that feel-good moment. It's never easy with Milwaukee in October. Like, this is a team that every year we talk about, hey, the Brewers, maybe they could do something. Look at the pitching staff. Look what they can do with this. No, they just don't get it done. And now here they are with all the pressure on them. Best record in baseball. And now you have a one-off against the rival Chicago Cubs. I can't wait to see this game tomorrow. I think the Cubs are actually going to do it and beat them. Like, I bet Chicago before the start of the series, I bought out of that bad boy and said, you know what? I think Milwaukee gets it done in game four. No, I was wrong. Like, I think the Cubs are actually going to get it done. The Cubs just have the confidence. The lineup is now hitting really well. Bush hit a home run. Kyle Tucker hit a home run. Like, Ian Happ is doing his thing as well. Like, I think the Cubs carry that momentum to Milwaukee and spoil the party for the Brew Crew. I think the Cubs advance and the Brewers go home. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, let's talk football here. Let's talk Arizona Cardinals, because Kyler Murray, he did practice on Friday in a limited fashion, but it should be noted that Jacoby Brissett took the bulk of the snaps with the starting receivers. Obviously, Jonathan Gannon was asked about Kyler Murray's availability and said, quote, we'll see about Sunday's matchup with the Colts. BetMGM, Femi, currently has the Cardinals as a 7-point road dog in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we will see at some point, whether tomorrow or on Sunday when the game actually happens. We'll have to find out at some point whether Kyler Murray is going to be playing in this game. I'm not so sure he will, because, I mean, think about it. For a movement player like Kyler Murray, a guy that relies on his athleticism, a foot injury and you were already out on Wednesday and on Thursday and now you're practicing Friday, my guess is he's probably just going to be limited in today's practice. Let's see how it responds tomorrow. But I'm guessing this is going to be the Jacoby Brissett experience. And the drop-off from Kyler Murray to Jacoby Brissett, it's significant, but I don't know if it's like, oh, this needs to be 7.5, 8 significant. Like, think about how key a number 7 is. It takes a lot to go from 6.5 all the way to 7.5, and that's where we've gone. At 7.5, this is a bet. And earlier this morning, I bet the Arizona Cardinals at 7.5. I just have a sneaking suspicion, regardless of QB, that they're going to keep this game close. With all of the negative press about the Cardinals, whether it's Amari DiMercado knocking everybody out of survivor pools, Jonathan Gannon hitting Amari DiMercado and having to get fined $100,000 by the organization, there's been so much negative news about Arizona to where I just think that for 1 week, and maybe it's just 1 week, they're going to be live and they're going to actually be very, very competitive in this football game. And just think about it too, like for Indianapolis side of it, like the Colts are a really, really good team, but are they this good to be laying 7 at home against a team that's like not like the worst team in the league? I'm not so sure. I think the Cardinals are a bet. The Cardinals are a bet that I place at 7.5. Let's see what happens with the injury report. 7.5 might come back if they rule Kyler out either tomorrow or 90 minutes prior to kickoff. But that's the bet. You want the hook to bet the Arizona Cardinals, who have been very, very good as a road underdog. This is the ideal spot for them this upcoming Sunday. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, Sunday's game in Tampa is going to be a war of attrition between the 49ers and the Bucs. For the Buccaneers, no Mike Evans, no Bucky Irvin. Chris Godwin hasn't been practicing. We have covered the Niners' injuries at length on this show. Now Mac Jones has been limited in practice all week. Femi, the Niners are hopeful that Jones will play, but the Bucs are currently a 3-point favorite over at BetMGM.
Yeah, the Bucs have a lot of injuries, and the Bucs so far this season have had a lot of luck too. Like, think about all these wins that they've had. Last second field goal, last second touchdown against Houston. Obviously, we saw the Seattle game last week where they're probably going to lose if Sam Darnold's pass didn't deflect off of the helmet of a Bucs defensive lineman. Like, these games have been some angels in the outfield type of stuff for Tampa. Will that continue? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they got the juice this year and everything's just going to go their way. But I have a sneaking suspicion that it's not going to continue. And if it doesn't continue, like, this team might not actually be as good as their records suggest they are. I think San Francisco is going to win this game on Sunday. Mac Jones is obviously limited with his injuries, but Kyle Shanahan should be fine. And also, too, from a schematic standpoint, with what Kyle Shanahan can do, he has dominated Todd Bowles. Like, think about the offense that the Buccaneers just saw. Like, Todd Bowles going up against Clint Kubiak, where did the Kubiak offense come from? Oh, it's from the Shanahan tree. I think the Niners saw a lot of the things that the Buccaneers were doing and what Seattle did to them. And I think that you're going to see a similar game plan to where the Niners passing game will have a lot of success come Sunday. Now, defensively for San Francisco, yeah, they're up against it a little bit. Obviously, no Nick Bosa. Let's see if they can generate a pass rush on Baker Mayfield. But like, this isn't going to be Baker Mayfield with the full complement of his weapons. He still has a banged up O-line, no Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin. I think that at least slows down Tampa's offense to where this is a coin flip game for me. And if you can get 3, I love 3 with the Niners. And I also bet some money line at plus 135 as well. I think San Francisco pulls off the small upset at home against this Buccaneers team. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Femi, a little college football here. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer now listed as probable for Saturday's Red River Shootout against the Texas Longhorns in Dallas. Femi, Oklahoma now a 1-point favorite. Total points 44.5 at BetMGM.
Yeah, I guess John Mateer is going to try to give this one a go, huh? At least that's how the betting market sort of pricing it. My guess is that whenever he gets ruled in, you're going to see this go from like 1 to probably 2, maybe 2.5. I don't think it's ever going to hit 3. I mean, you'll have too much interest on Texas +3. And also, think about it. There are people who have bet Oklahoma +3. You don't want to give them the opportunity to also bet Texas +3 to where, like, yeah, like, what are the chances the game lands 1 or 2? But in a low-scoring game, maybe it could. Maybe it goes to overtime and we got a 2-point off. Like, when have we ever seen that in Red River, you know, an overtime game? So, like, I don't think you're going to ever see it get to 3. But at any number that's going to be currently available either today or tomorrow, I'm going to like Texas. I think Texas wins this football game. Mateer out there with a broken hand, I'll believe it when I see it that he can be an effective player. His surgery was 16 days ago. Get out of here, buddy. I don't care if they shoot him up with the best shot ever. It's not happening. I think Texas, hook 'em horns, gets it done at the Cotton Bowl. We'll get to all the popular betting sides in the NFL and college football coming up next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Friday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebfe hanging with you guys this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on his Giants beating the Philadelphia Eagles last night as a 7.5-point underdog. Big Blue gets it done, which was great. Bet Giants plus 7.5, talked about that during the Power Hour on Thursday's edition of You Better You Bet. So it was good to see that bad boy get home. Good to see the Dodgers get home. Thanks to Orion Kirkering for that one. That was awesome, awesome night of betting with the Dodgers and the Giants. Not so great with the Milwaukee Brewers, but hey, now we got ourselves a Game 5 tomorrow night. So at least that's fun in the baseball playoffs. But wanted to get into some of the popular betting sides that we have as we head into the weekend in both the NFL and college football. And as always, we'll start with the NFL. That's the sport that I love the most. And this is courtesy of our guy, John Ewing, over at BetMGM. So this is the most bet spreads via ticket count this week in the National Football League. So the fifth most popular bet is the Denver Broncos laying 7.5 in London as they take on the New York Jets. That's apparently where all the recreational bettors are putting their money. As am I. I don't know, man. I don't know how the Jets are supposed to score on this Denver defense. And like, I guess you could say if there's an area that you could attack the Broncos, maybe it's running the football. And that's probably the only area where the Jets have any kind of competence on offense. So like, all right, I could see a Jets run game kind of getting going a little bit. But if they ever fall behind, that is good night. Like let's say Denver has like a 10-point lead going into the second half. And then all of a sudden the Jets start the third quarter with a 3-and-out. Denver tacks on some more points. And then here we go, down by 17 or down by 13. Run game out of the picture. That game is over. Denver will extend on that lead because here's Justin Fields, who is not an efficient passer, throwing against probably the best secondary in the NFL. How do you think that's going to go? So if Denver plays from in front, this is one of those games where I think alt spreads might actually cover the number. Now, if the Jets can play from in front and the Jets can kind of get their thing going, maybe it's a competitive game and Denver just wins by 4 or maybe wins by 6 or whatever. But I'm expecting from a coaching standpoint and a personnel standpoint for Denver to run through the New York Jets hot knife through butter. So I'm with the betting public on this game, laying the 7. Like 7.5 is the number at BetMGM, but please shop around. There are some 7s out there, and like that's a big, big difference. 7 and 7.5. Shop around, find the 7, lay the 7. Denver rolls across the pond in London. The fourth most popular bet is actually Monday Night Football. This one, I don't know if it surprised me, but it's interesting. And it's the Buffalo Bills laying 4.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, this is part of the double dip for Monday Night Football. Buffalo at Atlanta, then you have Chicago at Washington as the two games that we'll have on Monday night. I've had no real opinion with this game all week because I think the betting market's just right. I think Buffalo should be more than a 3-point favorite in the game, probably more than 4, and that's what they're at. I know Atlanta's coming off of the bye, extra rest, and also Buffalo coming off of a loss, so a little bit more focused, maybe a little bit more motivated to get back into the win column. So this to me feels like the right number. Now, if it ever got crazy and like let's say got up to 6, then yeah, of course, I'd bet the Falcons. But I don't think that's going to happen because I do believe from, I guess, old school handicappers, respected bettors, influential bettors, I think you're going to get some interest on the home dog in primetime. Like that's usually a spot where teams play above themselves. I mean, we literally just saw it last night with the New York Giants. 7.5. Who wants to bet the Giants? Nobody. We were there on You Better You Bet, but most people didn't want to bet the New York Giants in last night's game. And all you know, the New York Giants, they just win by 17. Like teams tend to play well at home in primetime because nobody wants to get embarrassed. You know, the whole country is watching. Nobody wants to go out there and just get like waxed by some superior team. So if I had to bet the game, I mean, it'd be a small lean to the Atlanta Falcons, but I think the betting market is just right and everything's working according to plan. And this is a game that I'm just going to pass, but I am surprised a little bit by so much interest coming in on the Bills. The third most popular game, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers laying 5.5 against the Cleveland Browns. Now, this makes sense to me, and this number's actually moved up to 6 over at BetMGM. Like the 5.5s were earlier in the week. We're 6 pretty much everywhere outside of like a couple of domestic sports books that are pretty prominent here. But for the most part, I'm seeing 6 minus 110. There's even a 6 minus 115 that's in the market as well. And I think what's driving this primarily is two things. It's the health of the Pittsburgh Steelers as they get back Joey Porter Jr. Jalen Ramsey might be touch and go. Let's see the Jalen Ramsey news and if he's able to get back out there. But Alex Highsmith, their pass rusher opposite of TJ Watt, he'll be on the field. So like the Steelers are getting healthier as they had the bye week to kind of rest up and recover. And then on the other side, the Cleveland Browns were in London last week and now are coming back to play a road game. That's a terrible situational spot from a schedule standpoint. I think a lot of that in congruence with the injury news and the scheduling spot is why this number, which was 4.5, 5 at open, is now out to that key number of 6. And I understand it to an extent, but at some point, there's a cutoff. And for me, 6 is that point. I bet Browns plus 6. I think people are baking this in a little bit too much because with these sort of situations, I always ask myself, and I think it's a really good tip for a lot of people to do the same, is that what's more likely? Are we underrating the scheduling spot and the situational spot, or are we overrating the scheduling spot and the situational spot? And based on how people have been talking about this game, it's the number one thing people bring up is the scheduling spot. My guess is that we're overrating it, even just a touch. And that touch might have got us from 5.5 to 6, and I will be on the other side to take advantage of that. I like Cleveland plus 6. I think my guy, Dylan Gabriel, hangs within the number. The second most popular game, and we talked about this in the last segment, that's the Indianapolis Colts laying 7.5 against Arizona. I'm on the other side. I bet Cardinals plus 7.5. The number is now 7, but Colts have been really, really good to bettors so far this season. You know, like, oh, they're laying 7 against the Raiders. Maybe too many points. I bet the Raiders that game wasn't too many points. Oh, they're laying 6 on the road against the Titans. Division game on the road. Too many points. No, it wasn't too many points. If you've been laying Indy in these spots, it's been really, really good. And the only game where they went against the bettors was the game where Adonai Mitchell drops the ball heading into the end zone. If not for that, they probably cover the number against the Rams. The Colts have been really, really good and have been outperforming expectations, so it makes sense as to why a lot of people like them. I'll just be the guy that has not learned and is continuing to be stubborn and fading Indianapolis, as I will once again this Sunday. And then finally, in the NFL, the most popular side is the Detroit Lions, plus 2.5 on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is Sunday Night Football, hell of a game. Can't wait to watch this game. My opinion, Kansas City should be the favorite, and if I had to bet the game, it would be laying 2.5. I was hoping that we got 3, because at 3, I would have bet Detroit, but it doesn't look like it's happening because I'm actually seeing at a couple of sports books, it's now down to Chiefs 2. So a lot of that recreational money maybe is right alongside with some influential money and dragging that down from 2.5 to now 2 at some sports books. BetMGM is still at the 2.5, but I think, to me, there's not a whole lot to do there from a betting standpoint. Fun game. If you wanted to bet the over, I guess that could be an option. Although this was 50 on Monday, it's now up to 53. So you've lost a little bit of value there. But like, if I pick the winner, I think it's Kansas City. But at three, I would take Detroit because Detroit's offense is more than live in this contest. And I think defensively, too, Detroit can cause some havoc for Kansas City with their pass rush, which is led by Aiden Hutchinson. Real quick, in college football, the most popular sides this Saturday, you have Georgia is the fifth most popular, laying the 3.5 at Auburn. I don't know what to do with that game. Like, I've gone back and forth. Like, parts of me is like, hey, maybe Auburn can be live. Parts of me is like, oh, is there a potential for an over? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be involved in that one. I'll sit that game out and we'll see what happens. But Gunnar Stockton's been good on the road. We'll see if he can continue over there at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But I think Georgia wins the game, so no real interest from me. Fourth most popular, Ohio State laying 14.5 at Illinois. We had PJ Glasser on with us, the Glass Man, earlier this week. He likes the Buckeyes laying that number. That's where I would put my money if I wanted to bet the game, but I'm just going to leave that game alone and go ahead and pass it. The third most popular betting side is the Oregon Ducks laying 7.5. And I believe there are some sevens that are out there in the market. BetMGM has 7.5 right now. But anything at 7 or better is a bet on Oregon for me. I think Oregon's just the much better team. And I'm looking at the market. Yeah, there's still 7-110 that is out there. I think Oregon's the better team. I think in these spots, Dan Lanning flexes his muscles. And I don't think Indiana's played a team like this at all this season. And maybe you can say the same about Oregon as well, given the fact that Penn State just lost to UCLA. But I think Oregon gets it done at home. Tough travel for the Hoosiers on Saturday. Second most popular, Oklahoma laying the 1. You know how I feel about that one. Hook 'em horns. Let's go Texas. I think Texas wins the game. And the most popular side in college football, Alabama laying 3 at Mizzou. I like Bama. Call me Joe Public. Call me Mr. Chalk. I like Bama. And I'll lay 3. I haven't laid it yet. Let's get this down to 2.5 because I think you're going to get some interest coming in on Mizzou. Fun. Hell yeah. Give me 2.5. I think Bama and Kalen DeBoer get it done. These are the games that DeBoer wins and covers. The big spreads are the ones you got to be concerned about. But these games, I think DeBoer finds a way. So those are your popular betting sides in the NFL and in college football. Let's talk baseball while we have some time here before the break. And we'll bring in our baseball aficionado, Jake Hassan and Tyler Morales. Jake, we got a game 5 tonight in Seattle, Tigers at the Mariners, and then a game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee between the Cubs and the Brewers. How are you looking to bet both of these decisive games?
I have no idea what's going to happen in Cubs and Brewers, so I'm just going to stay off of that one, mostly because my phone rang today and Craig Counsell wants me to pitch out of the bullpen at this point. Neither of these teams have any pitchers left. I don't know what the hell is going to happen, so I'm staying away. Tonight, I'm sorry. I think Scooble's a psycho. This is Jakey Narratives. I don't care. They're showing him smiling in the dugout while they got the graphic. Oh, the last 3 times he's been in Seattle, not his best starts. I think he's a crazy person. I don't think the Mariners are going to get him twice. Give me Scooble 11 Ks at 2-1. Give me Scooble to get the win at plus 125. I want everything with him. I thought he'd be super public. At BetMGM, the most bets tonight are all George Kirby unders. So I'll take all the Scooble bets I can get. Not a single Scooble bet on the top 5 at BetMGM, which is shocking to me.
Tyler, what do you like in baseball tonight and tomorrow night?
Mariners money line. Then they're going to win the series. Scooba will be laughing his way to Cancun. Screw so you. I like the Mariners. And I can't believe you guys talked me off the Cubs before the postseason. I'm right back with the Cubs. So I think the Cubs are going to win the series.
Yeah.
I do think the Cubs are going to win the series. I'll let you guys know who I like in the Mariners-Tigers game. I got King Felix behind me literally right now in the studio. So it'll be a surprise who I bet in that game. But interesting bets nonetheless from the crew here with the baseball tomorrow and tonight. Nick Costos joins us on the other side to break down his Giants beating the Eagles on Thursday Night Football.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.